We begin our worship in the name of our Lord and Savior, through whom we belong to God our Father, all made possible by the Holy Spirit giving us our saving faith in Christ. These thoughts come to us in a different sort of way as we hear God speaking in the first person, Isaiah 45, reading verses 22 through 25. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. As part of Wisconsin state law, high school students here and across the state have some opportunity to say the Pledge of Allegiance in class. In the words of that familiar Pledge of Allegiance, we express our loyalty as citizens of this country. This is not a concern as far as God is concerned. As long as you understand what's at stake here, you can be a loyal citizen of your country and a faithful Christian as long as your primary allegiance in all things is to the God who saved us. His kingdom and your place in that kingdom take precedence above all others. This is a truth revealed in our text, and we'll track it in the words of our theme. God will get our loyalty, our Christian pledge of allegiance, because of his pledge to us. Really, it's more than a pledge. It's in the form of an oath when God says, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow. God has sworn. He took an oath that he would get the attention and the submission of all people. This happens completely and decisively on Judgment Day. When Jesus comes back in all his glory with the angels, everyone will have to acknowledge him as Lord, like it or not. The angels and all the believers will do that joyfully. Satan, with the demons and all the unbelievers, will acknowledge him with much fear and trembling. Thankfully, we can be on the right side of this, the side of celebration, because of God's pledge. He has vowed to bring out our faith in Christ, which is the basis of your Christian loyalty, your spiritual allegiance to him. In more than one passage, Scripture says that God has sworn by himself. This is something you can't do, nor should you try. You cannot take an oath on your head, on yourself. In those rare times when we rightly take an oath, a vow, such as your confirmation vow, or a wedding vow, we do invoke the name of God. We call upon his higher authority to be the witness of our lifelong commitment to him, think confirmation vow, or to a spouse, think wedding vow, pledging to be these things that we promise to be. Well, God is at the top of the authority pyramid. When he takes an oath, he has to call upon himself as the witness of what he vows to carry out. The classic example that you've probably gone through in Religion 9 is when God took an oath to save the world through Abraham's future descendant. That oath was tied to the gospel in a rather profound way. To keep that oath, God would have to do everything. He'd have to take every detail of your salvation out of human hands, where it's only going to fail, and put everything into the hands of his Son, the one he sent to redeem us, and the Holy Spirit, the one sent from God to make our faith happen by the truth and the power of his word. This heavenly pledge, this oath of God, is more than a general promise to send Jesus and deal with sin, death, and hell. It also has a prediction applied to every believer. You're in this prediction when God says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. God has vowed to win us back, to regain our loyalty. God has pledged to turn you and me into people who trust in Christ and claim his righteousness as our own. Everything that Jesus did as the sure strength of our salvation. To go into detail on this, well, that's what the rest of the Bible is about. In summary, we can say, we need Jesus to keep all the commandments for us and make it count as our perfect record with God. We need Jesus to absorb all of our sins and expunge them from God's sight at the cross. We need the Holy Spirit to cause us to receive God's forgiveness by faith, not only to start that faith, but also preserve it until the very day that we leave this world. If we were to add it all up, what we have here is a very lopsided win-win situation for both sides. God wins something, or should I say someone? God wins people valuable to him that he paid for so dearly. God wins our loyalty of faith. God wins our attention in making him the object of our worship, the focus of our prayers, the person that we depend on always. And because of all that, or before all that, I should say, we win by faith all the blessings of his grace. What starts with the forgiveness of sins eventually becomes the glorification of you and me in the wonderful glory of heaven. This too is part of a lopsided thing. And it doesn't bother God one bit that his loyalty to you far outweighs your loyalty to him. That too is part of the pledge of his grace. His allegiance to you and me, which even causes our endless allegiance to him, his people, in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll close this morning with hymn 352. We sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Stanzas 1, 2, and 4 of hymn 352.